Hey, Gavox here. Welcome to episode number 159 of the Mutt Men Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my man, Texas. How you doing, good sir?
What up, man? How's it going, Mr. Fox?
A C. I'm trying to learn German, and I'm making a good progress with it, as you can tell. How about you? How's life in the show? And let's hear your text message.
Life is good until last night happened, and I wanted to break something.
I was there. I was streaming, and Texas was raging in the chat. It was an interesting night.
No, I was so mad because so everybody was like, so for those that don't know what's going on, Mimblebee the show dropped, and you couldn't play their most popular mode, Diamond Dynasty, unless you did a certain set of things, which because they broke the game. Yeah. Nobody fucking playtested it. I don't know how you got all these fucking people that work for this company and none of them found this bug to where you had to do all these stupid shit to play the game. So
you had to buy packs. You had to buy packs to get to play the game.
Yeah, you had to spend money in a game where before it was like you could be no money spent and grind and get a really good team. And this year, because of an unknown error that they ran into, they forced people to buy packs. And if you bought packs and you didn't know you had to put certain cards in your lineup, you had to buy more fucking packs just to get into Diamond Dynasty. And the shit was like that for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, it was. It annoyed the piss out of me. I ended up having to buy more packs in order to get into Diamond Dynasty because you had to put them into your lineup from a different screen. And it's weird. It's like it's the first thing you do, and it was to get into Diamond Dynasty, and that's where they fucked up. So.
It's the first thing, so I wanted to get a refund last night, and so I should have took my ass to bed when I said that because I called PS4 this morning, which is my text message, and I was like, I want a refund. They said, all right, we got you, and they said, well, you can't get a refund because you have a trophy in the game, and since you got a trophy, that means you played the game, and so you can't get a refund, and the trophy I got one trophy out of the whatever how many are in this game. It's because I got a Diamond Dynasty.
Oh, really? Just because you logged in?
Just kind of logged into Diamond Dynasty. I got a trophy.
Oh, my God.
That's, dog, if you run a company, make sure that's your policy. Because you played the game for 2 seconds. Just have an achievement that says you installed the game. That makes all of a sudden, you can't refund it.
Doesn't that make you not want to use their services anymore? Isn't that actually bad in the long term?
That is super. I probably could have gotten a refund if I had talked to a supervisor. But, like, I do want to play this game. So, I wasn't, like, tripping about it. I just wanted my money back at that moment. Because I was really mad at SDS Studios for dropping a game that was broken. And there's more stuff we'll get into probably at the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
About how broken this game is on launch. But real quick, for those in your chat saying, Tex, why are you being thin-skinned about this launch?
It was one person.
As well. It was one person. But that person, he got my feelings, bro. Because I'm like, when Madden has a glitch, it typically benefits us. I bought this game just so I could play Conquest, and I couldn't even log into the damn game for 3.5 hours, and there was nothing, and they didn't even give us any fucking reimbursement packs. There was no, here's some, our mistake,
I'm sorry,
for not being able to play our fucking game for 3.5 hours. Here you go!
Yeah, I will say Sony does care, it feels like, just through my use of Sony, it seems like they care less about the consumer satisfaction than they do get at, like Microsoft cares about the consumer satisfaction, but they don't put out nearly the amount of good games that Sony does. So it's like, it's different. But we'll go back to the MLB show at the end of the podcast. Yeah. We'll talk about that and compare it to Mutt and everything.
I'm really mad about this game, bro. I'm really tight about it. No. On top of that, everybody pulling diamonds last night but me.
I pulled one, so
you pulled the best one. Don't be out here saying I pulled one like you didn't pull the best
one. It was only one.
All right,
well, it was just one.
We're sorry. We gotta get to our guests.
All right, you guys know him either from memes on the internet, Twitch, YouTube, or the Mutt Men Podcast like 60 episodes ago. Chaos, how you doing?
What's up, guys?
Doing good. Not a whole lot. You know how it is. So, Chaos, what have you been up to since we last spoke to you? Give us a little history, you know.
Well, I became a content creator. I'm
sweet.
Grinding YouTube. I've been grinding Twitch. And I've been playing a lot of basketball. It was my last basketball season, so that was pretty much my focus this year. So.
Nice. Were you playing basketball at, or do you not want to dox the chaos?
No, that's cool. I was at Coppin State University. Season just came to an end. We lost in our conference tournament a week and a half ago. So. Now I'm just grinding Madden, trying to grow this YouTube.
Yeah, it's a little tougher to grind and grow during this spring summer season because Madden's so far away. But it is good practice for like content that like you maybe want to do for the fall and get ideas collected. But yeah, you can't be like Tex and take it off and expect to you know, have that audience when you come back. But somehow text makes it manage weirdly. So don't, whatever you do, don't listen to text with his advice on summertime plans for Madden content. Chaos.
Yeah,
I'll say that off the top.
That is the best time to grow because nobody else is doing anything, because I think everybody kind of takes that off, but people who are crazy like Gutfox and Victionary, so there's always a lane there because I'm not uploading. I'm uploading now. Like, imagine what's going to happen fucking come May.
Yeah, I mean, like, when we move on like a couple months from now, you get like Madden 20 stuff and everybody kind of does that, and that's kind of lane's going to be filled too, but I don't know. If you go down to EA at all and capture their stuff, that's huge during the summer months. That can really help you grow. It's launched a few people's channels pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working on getting that done, and I've grown a ton just from the beginning of this year, so I'm pretty happy with where I'm at.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so everybody go check him out. I'll put his stuff in the description here on YouTube, otherwise on iTunes. Go check him out on the YouTube. You can just Google him, or go to this video, and then click the links from there. Either way, so Cassie, you've had a few I guess growing pains as a content creator. I think I want to go through like each of the controversies, a couple of them, and then like, why do you think you've been hit with this controversy from the competitive community? Is it because you're from there and they're trying to hold you down from becoming like expanding yourself into a creator, coming over to the dark side of content creation on YouTube?
So the first controversy was with the conductor glitch. I posted the conductor glitch. Some people had some problems with it. The reasoning I'm guessing is so that other people wouldn't have been doing it. They could keep the glitch almost to themselves, which is, I do think that's because I came from the competitive side, and people in the competitive side always want to keep things to themselves. If they find a glitch, they don't want it, like a glitch that no one knows about, they don't want it patched. They want to be able to use it in their tournament, stuff like that. So that's probably why I got a lot of backlash there. And then the bigger controversy, which everybody was talking about, was my game versus Kiv, where I played him. He was on a quote-unquote creep tag where he was playing on a tag that's not himself. But this was literally the last like 2 days of grinding when I played him. And at that time, everyone that I knew and talked to in the competitive community knew who he was and that tag. So I didn't think it was a secret. And then his offense, which he was running, which wasn't Gun Bunch, which I guess was a secret, but his friend, who runs the exact same stuff as him, was playing someone on stream, and he kept lurking him, which means he just kept playing him over and over and over again, and played him about 5 times in a row using the same offense. So I didn't think either of those were secrets anymore, which is why I posted it. And then, of course, he's a big name, so I knew it would get good views, and it was a really, really good game, so I was excited to post that. When I posted it, they gave me some backlash as far as, like, they said, like, that's coming from the competitive community, like you said, like, I shouldn't have exposed his tag or anything like that. But when I posted it, I really wasn't thinking, like, oh, I can't wait to expose his tag. Like, this is Kib. I want everyone to know who he is. That's not what I was thinking about. I was just trying to grow my channel, and build my own brand. And if they came at me, like, through a DM, a private DM, and been like, hey, like, I really didn't want people to know who I was, could you take it down and maybe you could post it after the tournament, I probably would have done it, because I didn't mean any malicious intent on that. But the way they went about it, they went on in front of everybody on Twitter and they came with insults right away. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to keep this one. It ended up being a pretty big video, but I think part of that was them making it grow themselves, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's you got a lot right there to wrap through. Let's go through the Kiv thing first. So, in my opinion, like, I'm a content creator, and so like maybe they're not the issue, because if I ever run against a glitch, if I run against a scheme and it's good, if somebody, like, my favorite part is on stream when somebody throws a new blitz at me and I can't block it, I'm like, oh fuck, I got a new YouTube video for tonight. That's like, I love it. And I've done this before where I said, oh, sweet, this is a cool blitz. I hope he runs it some more because I'm gonna steal it. And then they stop running it. That's the best part on stream. That's happened to me against a couple of opponents. So, like, whatever, they're lurking. But I get lurked a bit, and it's not a big deal to me. Here's the thing with Kiv. All right, I'm gonna say it. About the clickbait and Kiv, you mentioned that, him getting good views. Mazomatic, who is, he doesn't upload as much anymore, but he uploaded a little bit last year, some tips and stuff, put Kiv's face on a thumbnail and said the one play beater, I think it was at the tournament, that ruins all coverages or something, or beats cover three. It's the same thing I put out like 3 days after the game launched. The same concept, you know, you fade, or I think it was a fade corner or fade out route. I forgot what it was last year. Same shit I put out like right there. And I got like 10,000 hits on my video. He put Kib's face on basically the same video. He got like hundreds of thousands of views. I'm like, what the fuck? So Kib, that son of a bitch sells. That sells YouTube videos. So he should start a channel. I'll just say that right now. And about posting any videos, like, and your point about DMs versus out in public, like, I don't know. I'm very rude in DMs because it's just between two people. I'll be an asshole. Like, if I ever get aired out, like, hey, this guy's kind of a dick in DMs, I'm like, yeah, but it's not in public, right? Like, I completely agree with you. I'm fine with somebody being kind of a dick and saying, like, what they really feel when it's one-on-one. But when you put that out to the public and you create a huge controversy, that's kind of different. I feel you on that. So it's I don't know. I don't know if it's a sign of respect or something or whatnot. But it's definitely I totally see your side on that. Tex, what do you think about DMs versus public?
I agree as well. Like, if you come to me respectfully and not try to like group up and kind of bully me and do something I don't want to do, then that's gonna get you more.
Oh yeah.
Of like my attention. But when you come out here and you got like all these people trying, you text your friend saying, hey, let's all bombard this guy with messages, and I start fucking getting inundated with a bunch of like from this angle, from I'm just not gonna look at my phone. I'm gonna put my phone in my turn my phone off or put it on Do Not Disturb. I'm gonna go work out. I'm gonna go watch a movie. I'm just gonna ignore all your shit till the next day. Like, you come to me like with some respect, then you're gonna get treated with respect. You ain't gonna come to me talking all reckless. Ain't how that works. So I completely agree with the decision that you made there, because like
the crazy part about that, sorry to cut you off, was I had like three people hit me up that I had never even heard of in the community that I guess are just like friends of Kib, like right away, like saying like just insulting me, like, oh my god, like you just said, like just going right at me. I've never even heard of these people, and they only are doing it because I guess they talked about what I did or whatever. So
yeah,
and it's not like you did anything that's like that was, it's just, you didn't do anything that I would say is scumbaggery. And so this, them coming at you reckless right out of the gate, instead of like finding out what your intentions were with that video, just automatically assuming what they thought it might have been, and then just nah, like, keep that shit up.
Yeah. So I completely take, because I come from a content creator. I would have done the same exact thing with Kib if I would have played him on stream or anybody. Because that's just good content. I mean, it's just a good video, and that's kind of your job. So you're just doing your job.
And it came down to the wire too. It was an awesome game. It literally came down to 1 second left, and he was going for a 2-point conversion to tie it. It literally was like the best game too. So
he it's one of those borderline cases, and people are angry at both sides. So the other one, the conductor glitch, that one it's weird because they got angry at you for posting. Now, I've had a lot of people angry at me. I love posting glitches because the shit ends up, like, hopefully hitting EA's radar and getting patched. And a lot of it does get patched. Where, like, Joke put it out, and I was going to do a video on it. But then I saw your video and Pony's video. I think you guys both deleted your video. So I never did a video on it because I'm like, oh, the video's already out there. People already know about it and shit. But you guys ended up both taking it down. And the conductor glitch, it was put in the wild. And it still hasn't been patched. It's one of those things, like, EA knows about it. But I don't know why they didn't patch that. Like, can you explain the conductor glitch first, and then like why hasn't EA patched this, even though they clearly know about it?
So essentially, there's a way to get unlimited hot routes before you even go to the line of scrimmage. Like, you can go out, do five different hot routes, change every receiver on the field before you even get set. And I don't know why they haven't patched it. Even before Joke released it, I'm friends with Joke. He told me that he sent it to them. Like during the live event, like not this last live event, the one before it. So there's been, I think, at least two patches since then, and it just, they haven't done anything about it. Now, I don't know if there's no way for them to fix it, and that's why they haven't. But definitely more people know about it now, because almost every single person I play on the ladders that has conductor is doing that glitch. So,
Like it's it's solid. I don't know if it's like super game changing, but it's really good. You got to get your defense adjustments in a lot quicker going against it. But why hasn't EA? So you just think they're incompetent, or they just didn't put it high on their priority list because, you know, only a few competitive players knows of it, or the only competitive Twitter's talking about it, and there hasn't been a lot of bitching about it?
It might be a little bit of both. It's very possible that like lower players like don't even know that they're being done, like it's being done to. So like if you have like a really good blitz, right? and someone's screaming at you every single play, okay, you know that's a glitch. This person's glitch blitzing me or whatever, right?
Yeah.
If someone's just doing really fast hot rods and hiking the ball quickly, it's very possible that 95% of the people don't even realize that it's being done to them. So it's hard to create, like, a fuss for it.
Yeah.
So that's probably the number one reason why they haven't, like, tried to fix it, I guess, is because a lot of people haven't, like, whined about it or, like, gotten mad about it because it just, it's not as obvious as everything else that happens.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, Tex, what do you think?
I think they didn't fix it because the videos got deleted. I feel like if the videos would have just been there, people would have just kept building stuff up over time, but it would have been an epidemic online, that potentially they would have ended up doing the fixing up. But because it's, again, something that not many people know about, that's probably why they haven't addressed it. Because, like Got Fox says, he has hit them up in the past about stuff in private, and then nothing gets done. Makes a video about it.
I definitely agree.
It keeps it up there, and they patch that shit right away.
Yeah.
I think publicity definitely helps it.
Yeah,
I think the more traction something gets, the quicker they'll get it fixed.
Yeah, like that motion freeze glitch was in the game for a long time, and then like I put up a video on it, and oh man, I got a lot of hate on that. I got a lot of hate on a lot of shit, but whatever. I got a lot of hate. 2 weeks later, it was out of the game. Like it's been in the game since the beta. I think Matt just said.
Yeah, and, it was.
And 2 weeks. It's all took them 2 fucking weeks since I posted that video. So yeah, it's a little frustrating sometimes. You kind of need to publicize in order to, like, do that. But anyways, conductor glitch, like, it's not the worst, but it's just something, it's a slight competitive advantage. Like, where do you draw the line, Chaos, between just a slight competitive advantage and something that's fine being in the game and something that you think needs to be patched out of the game?
I would say I really just base it personally on how things are intended for it to be used. So, like, since conductor is not intended to give you unlimited hot routes, it's intended to give you two instead of one. I draw the line there. It's tough though, because I mean, like you said, like blitzes aren't really intended to be the way that they are either. So I guess, I mean, I'm always a fan of glitches like the conductor getting fixed. Now blitzes, since they're more like, I feel like if you fix conductor, it's not going to break something else. When they fix blitzes, they break everything.
They do,
like,
they do a bad job fixing glitches.
Yeah,
right?
if they did a solid job and did it the right way, I wouldn't even mind blitzes being patched. If it was just done right, it's just that it breaks so many other things. It's like, what's the point? So
yeah.
It's like contains.
I mean,
fix contain.
I don't know if you guys want to talk about contains right now, but that's
go get it.
I'd love to talk about contains.
Do it.
The floor is yours, man.
I mean, this is like the. So, it was bad all year as soon as they got rid of contains. The second that patch came out, it was bad. But the faster these quarterbacks get, the worse it gets. And now you have 99 speed Vic and 99 speed Lamar Jackson. You can literally do whatever you want back there. You can run around, dance circles, run back 30 yards, juke people with just speed, and throw the ball right on the money. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Because you need 99 speed D linemen. You can't catch them. It's impossible. And you can't keep them in the pocket because there's no contains. And if you do use contains, they just stand there and you can just stand in the pocket. So
you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And like Lawrence Taylor, you only got one of them out there. And he's the only one that I can really keep up with Mike Vick right now. But you got to get, you know, the top tier Lawrence Taylor, costs a couple million coins. But yeah, like it's. So now it is interesting to see where the metagame goes. It's like, all right, do all your dancing, do all your shit in the backfield. I'm either going to, like, people are either sending 7 or they're sending 3 with the block shed D. So, like, the meta's evolved to kind of, like, take, like, contains, but, like, man, it's the more they try to patch it and make it, like, more realistic or you know, more balanced, the more, like, it just gets, like, I don't know, the unintended consequences makes it almost not, I don't know about more unbalanced. Like, do you think Madden is less realistic now than it was 5 years ago? Like, hey, how long have you been playing, actually? Sorry.
Well, I mean, competitively, I started in Madden 17, I guess you could say.
Okay.
Technically 18, but I've been playing. I mean, I played Madden since I was a kid, just not seriously until probably Madden 17. But Madden 16, I played Mutt pretty hardcore. I just wasn't a competitive player. Madden 15, I played.
Like, compared to 15, do you think Madden's more or less realistic since 15? I almost can answer this myself, but I want to hear your opinion.
It's hard to say. I mean, I'd probably say less, but it's because they try to make it more, like, the more realistic you try to make it, I feel like the less realistic it is, because you just can't match real football. It's it's real. Like, real players are going to do different things on every play. Like, if someone's in the flat, like, they're not always going to play a perfect cloud on a corner or like a perfect heart. They're going to do different things, and you can't adjust for that in a video game with AI computers. So I'd probably say less, just because they're trying too hard, I think.
Yeah, because, like, a lot of people want it consistent, right? They want consistent results by calling the same thing. And if they call, it's like kind of like a chess match at that point. Like, mm-hmm. if I do X and they do Y, I beat Y. But if they do Z, they beat X. So, and then, like, so you need consistent. In real life, people are not consistent. Like, you get the Troy Polamalu's of the world. He'll go ahead and make a random play off of just something like he saw 9 games ago on film or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then he'll be in someplace else picking the ball off. So, like, there's a big community talk about adaptive AI and people running the same plays over and over. Is that something you'd want to be in the game at all?
No. I mean, as a competitive player, no. Just because, like you said, I like it to be consistent. I want to be able to tell my players what to do. I would like more control over my players. So, like, I would like everything to be possible to stop. So, like, I would like a zone to stop deep corners and crosser routes. I would like to have that option to me.
Yep.
But as far as adaptive AI, no. I mean, if I'm doing something that's going to beat cover two, your AI shouldn't just go stop it, because you, even though you're calling cover two over and over and over again, you should change your shell to a cover three or a cover four.
Yeah.
But I would like it available to me where I could say, like, put a zone out here to stop a deep corner, and if they have a streak on the field, like, because you need a deep corner to stop a deep corner route, but if they put a streak on the field, then they have to follow the streak, and you can't do anything to stop the deep corner route. So I would like more options there, but as far as adaptive AI, I'd say no.
Yeah. Texas, what do you think?
I used to want adaptive AI, but after playing, like, as many games as I've had, like, in the past, like, 2 months because of house rules, I want to throw something at somebody whenever my cornerback dives in a pass.
It swats, like, and misses it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I can't control it. It makes me so mad. I'm like, just go for the tackle, because at the end of the day, if he's throwing a ball and you're right on his butt, he may drop it, or it's a 3-yard, 4-yard catch. I've had dudes throw passes to my cornerbacks in the motherfucker's body, Neo style from the Matrix, and he's diving for no reason, and it's a touchdown. I'm in cover zero at that point.
I know exactly what you're talking about now.
Yeah. So I don't want adaptive AI, because unless I can control exactly what their actions are. If I can say be aggressive, but if I say just play cautious and don't break, then I'll be cool about that.
Texas, isn't that kind of what they try to do with coaching adjustments, like play ball, play receiver, swap ball, that kind of stuff?
Try to, it doesn't work though.
If they worked, those things are so broken. That's probably the most broken thing in the game.
No, I love when I go to Gunfox streams. Like, I don't know if I do play ball or play. It doesn't fucking matter. It's just, you know, whatever. That's pretty much just a decision process.
Oh man.
Cass, have you noticed anything with the different play ball, play receiver, bounce, any of those things?
When they first came into the game, I thought there was a difference, but there's not. I don't see any difference. I've used them, and I don't see any difference when I'm playing the game. I don't even touch them anymore. I leave them unbalanced.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I haven't really noticed much either. You'd think after our hundreds of hours, thousands of hours playing the game head-to-head, we would have noticed something fucking with those, but I'm right there. Until we get a chaos of the community testing it out, like 91 zone, and figuring it out, I don't see anything either.
An aggressive pass rush definitely does something, but
that
has its own problems with it. Glitches to not make you be able to come off aggressive, and false starts on balance and stuff like that. So
I definitely think the false starts on balance was pissed me off. But is there an aggressive pass rush glitch right now?
They patched it, but there was one during the. I don't know if they patched it before the live event or not. I can't remember, but there was one during the Mutt Drafts grind last series, and they. You could go into over G, and you could fake hike, and the guys would, you know how they, like, they would dive off, like, go off sides and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And early in the year, it was a neutral zone infraction, and you could hike it while they were over the line.
Right.
They wouldn't let you hike it anymore. So there was a glitch going around that your guys would just do that, and they would never go off sides.
Right. Yeah, I remember when that started happening. I got really pissed, but I never really looked into it more. But yeah, I guess, wow. Okay. Damn. Yeah. So they patched that now, though.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work anymore. But supposedly some people found a new one. But I don't know that one. I haven't ran into it yet. But I wouldn't be surprised. There's always been one. So
yeah, there's a guy getting me like insane pressure rushing 3 out of some nickel formation the other day. Well, sometimes he mixes in 5, and I literally, like, Texas, you were there. I posted the game. It was my Mel Blount gameplay I posted on YouTube. I literally couldn't do anything against his defense. Like, my routes wouldn't even develop before I was getting hit. So I was like, and I kept checking on aggressive, and he just wasn't doing anything. I don't know if it was block shed D, which it could have. I mean, obviously block shed D, it was over G, but like it was he was beating my tackles one on one with his non block shed guy like that. So that it must have been some aggressive something.
It was a combination of block shed D and just bad offensive line mechanics. True. Because so many times dudes would just not block anybody.
That's a good point. They
so it just yeah. Like dudes will either be blocking the air and the guy runs right by them, or be a gap that the guy's supposed to fill. Your guard's looking at him and he just runs right through.
There's
something new going on right now. There's something new. I don't know. I kind of know the last glitch. Somebody said the reason why you could run unaggressive out of big nickel over G as well is you just keep flipping your play on defense.
Yeah.
Oh, shifting your line. Yeah.
Yeah, or shifting your
line. That wasn't that powerful in my opinion, but I get you. Couldn't go outside. Chaos, how are you blocking block shed D out of big nickel right now?
So play action plays are really, really good. Okay. So I pretty much do that, and I don't block my running back
pre-snap.
I keep the PA, and you just cancel the post-snap. You hold RT.
Yeah.
And that'll stop the guy from looping.
Okay, that's good.
So that's what I do a lot. And if I'm not running PA, then I just try to get the ball out quick, to be honest with you. There's not too much you can do with it.
Hmm.
Some of them, like, not big nickel, but, like, 3-3-5 and dollar, you can... I usually slide away from my tight end if it's the non-PA play.
Oh, okay.
But if it's PA, it usually does a good job. You just have to make sure you cancel the PA post-snap by holding the right trigger, and you usually have some success.
So you don't ID the defense tackle or slide away from the running back on it?
I've stopped IDing. It just doesn't work properly. It works to a degree. Like, if you mess around and ID, like, a corner or safety or something, you might be able to pick it up, but I don't know. There's just no consistency with anything, like, as far as ID, so I don't even mess with it.
Yeah, I've had that same issue because, yeah, like Tech said, it randomly comes in even when you ID the same guy two plays in a row.
There's no consistency at all, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta try that because somebody in my stream said to stop the block should do the play action, but whenever I would, like, not cancel it, just let it go through the guard, let the guy come through, the running back can cut him. So it's like, running back, he gets to cut consistently. I'm just like, I don't want this guy back here because he's going to get up and tackle me.
Yeah, because he just gets up. Yeah, gets up at a second.
Yeah, so yeah. So if you just hold the trigger button on the play action, then you should be get the blocking you deserve. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got to try that. Thanks.
No problem. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Yeah, good luck for the house rules this week, Tex. That'll, because we're getting head-to-head in the second half.
Trying to get that Gronk.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll come back to gameplay.
Did they fix house rules matchmaking? Because I remember when it first came out, you got matched up based on your
Elo.
My head-to-head level. And
yeah.
I remember I was getting hard games every game, and I couldn't win six in a row, or I would struggle for it, and I just stopped playing because I got annoyed.
So two things happened. 2 weeks ago, they fixed it, and they went to random matchmaking, and it was amazing, and I loved it.
That's great.
And then last week, they went back to Elo, but 2 weeks ago, what also happened, which made it even better, it's 10-win total now. It's no longer six in a row. So, So even though the games will be sweatier, and they were, so 2 weeks ago, the games were amazing because you ratcheted up more randomly, and it was only 10 total, so you could lose games and still get the maximum reward. It's now sweatier, but you I just bail on games if I'm like, oh, I'm getting fucked by RNG this game, because it doesn't matter, total, so yeah. That's what I'm doing. So we're getting Gronk this week by completing the two house rules, the first half and the second half, and then we're also getting a 97 Combine, a 97 Ultimate Legend Plus auctionable pack. Texas house rules. Now they brought this. Is this going to be an unpopular opinion? Probably. They brought house rules into the game, and I was hoping it was going to be a fun change up for head to head or playing the game itself by having funky rules. Basically, what they turned house rules into a lot now are like, it's like new solo challenges, right? Can't they just give these rewards for just new solos in the game? Like, why is house rules turned into like the new grind for solos, Tex?
It's because they're trying to get people engaged in something a little bit different. And I think they're trying to like maybe go into Madden 20 with like audience already knowing what this is so they can kind of engage in it early. So that's probably why we're getting this, because the solo grinding has basically went from playing amazing challenges. Like think about this. You can go ahead and knock out these house rules and get a 97 plus auctionable UL, or you can play the solos that give you gotta play three full games for an auctionable that comes out in like May. Well, so they just completely just said fuck Solo. So I think they're just trying to get their numbers up for this, specifically for next year.
You think? I mean, like, okay, so house rules, the whole point of house rules is, like, the funky rules, right? Like, we're not playing actual, I almost dropped my water. We're not playing actual NFL, like, regulation, but, like, we're playing, like, I don't know, Canadian football or random scoring or whatever they're doing, or low gravity, or playing with uniforms, like, not uniforms, but playing with costumes or some shit, or whatever ideas were. So, like, I get what you're saying, that they're trying to engage with people here, but I don't know. It just feels like they massacred it, right? They're not doing it to the extent, like, they're not, the spirit of the game mode isn't there. People are only running squads, duos, for the rewards. They're not actually playing for fun, yeah, right? Like, that's what MUTT's turned into, a reward grind, rather than, like, hey, let's have fun playing with this new toy that they put out this week. And that's my biggest concern about house rules.
Yeah, well, maybe MLB didn't come out this week, it would have just been regular, just like kind of cool concept. But I think with how things are going right now, like, I don't know if they're going to be able to do a lot of the stuff that we want to see until next year, which sucks. I think we probably keep getting like the bare minimum stuff, but like, just we'll keep getting the grind for rewards, and hopefully they'll add some more cool elements in Madden next year.
Yeah, I get it, but for house rules specifically, you know how EA does. Like, they'll put in a cool new mode, give it a lot of attention, and then abandon it the next year. Same thing I would draft champion, salary cap, etc. So here's the thing: it's gonna happen in house rules. We'll get the same fucking house rules we're gonna get next year, this year, because they've already moved on. The new that project's done. Like, it's not, when you're in a corporate atmosphere, it's not the old stuff that's gonna get you accolades and get you promotions and stuff. Like, it's sometimes the new things, the new projects, the new tasks done that you show leadership. But it's the same issue with gameplay. Like, fixing gameplay, we've always had the Rex has said this over and over. It's not something you sell in the back of the box. Fixing house rules and making that more engaging as a game mode they already put out this year, that's not gonna sell. That's not gonna, like, excite the community. Oh, like, kind of cool. It excites the fuck out of me. I don't know. I'm just one person in the community. New house rules, but it's not something that they can sell. Like they can something new. So, I fear it's gonna get biggest point. I fear it's gonna get ignored next year. Tex.
See, I don't think it is, mostly because, like, I've never, like, the events and other games that they do. Like, a lot of games kind of just keep that game fresh. With Fortnite, you got the different game modes you could possibly play, and they keep doing cool things with that, where it's all gold this time, all gold. So I think if EA wants to continue to, like, get people to play for fun, they have to do this mode, because everything else is a grind. Weekend League's a grind. Head-to-head seasons is a grind. Solo battles is a grind. Solos is a grind. This is really the only thing where you get in and get out. Now, they can't keep doing ELO. It should just be based off of just going to the game and have fun.
Text, no way. Point. No way. No way is this not a grind. No way is 10 solos against the CPU.
The solo one is a grind, but, like, the head-to-head one tomorrow is probably not going, or whatever this is. Whatever the head to head one is, that one's probably not going to be a grind. You know what it is? It is 10 straight wins. What it probably should
10 total.
10 wins total.
Yeah.
What it should probably be, 6 straight wins or 10 total is probably what it should be. So you're not grinding as much. But I still have fun playing this, man. I love when I, like, 2-point conversion one last week. It's pretty dope. It's kind of basic. It's not what you want, but I still have fun playing it. Maybe because I'm playing head to head as late and you're kind of like tired of it.
Oh yeah, because we've been playing head to head all year, and yeah, you're just kind of getting into it.
I'm just kind of getting into it, so something that's a little bit different, and I'm like here for it.
Yeah,
because they have not had something like this that, I mean, we both been clamoring for a while, just something extra, something quick that we can do, because now this kind of this caters to the casual. I don't know how many guys I've lost to that I'm probably better than in regular mode, but they get 15 points and some fuck shit, and I'm just
Cass, what do you think?
I mean, I think House Rules is cool. I like the concept. I just have a couple problems with it. The number one was the matchmaking. The first couple weeks really turned me off from it. I didn't want to play it anymore, because I saw so many people who didn't really grind head to head like that, and they were playing like clowns, and they were just easy to cleanse. And I'm over here sweating, and then I'm playing a decent player, and he gets 14 points for a touchdown. I'm like, all right, now I'm never winning. So I quit. But yeah. I mean, it's cool. The only other issue I had with it was, they just have such limited manpower at the gameplay standpoint, and instead of fixing all the problems with this game, they have them tuned into, like, implementing house rules and duo squads, which is important things. I think it's cool, fun mix-ups to have different things in the game. I just wish they would hire some more people so that they could pay attention to both.
Yeah, and the thing is, we just saw EA today. We're not gonna talk too much. Well, we'll talk a little about that. Just fired 350 people because Andrew Wilson needs a new fucking boat, and it's terrible. Like, Mutt has never been bigger. Mutt itself, Madden's obviously been bigger in the past, but Mutt Foot never been bigger. And EA's laying off 350. That's a lot of people that they're out of a job, that don't have like leads for a new job or anything. And it's disgusting the amount of money we're funneling into this corporation, like hundreds of millions of dollars. And Cass is right, it's bare bones at times with like gameplay. Mutt staff is kind of a small team, and like it's weird, right? Like it's almost like they're trying to starve their moneymaker. It's the strangest business decision I know of, right? To the things that brings you in the most money. They're running it like a traditional corporation, like a manufacturing plant almost. Like, they're like trying to get away. They're trying to like, it's like a car plant. Like, you want to make it most efficient. You want to do just-in-time production. You want to have get the most with the least amount. Whereas like with EA, I could see you doing that. But like with this game studio, with the amount of issues that they see, that the review scores, the sales going down every year of the game mode, Mutt's killing it. But like, it's so weird that the lack of investment, and they just kind of are fine with it. Their revenue is so much greater than their expenses. Their profit margin's around 80% on it. And like, you think you'd want to keep growing that as a company, because a company, if you're not growing, you're dying. And EA is obviously showing that they're dying by cutting staff. And that's what they call a minor temporary stock boost. When you cut staff, the stock market loves it. It's so sad to see what's happening in Mutt. And then they're spending in gameplay too, and they're spending a lot of their time on like a career mode we talked about a couple weeks ago, and it's not fixing the core problems of the game. And I agree with Chaos on that. So there's a lot of like WTF, and it's not even like that they're mismanaging the amount of resources they have. Yes, that's true. You know, Longshot was a piece of shit, but they have so much more resources to like put into the game. You can get Longshot, you get 3-on-3, you can get story mode, you can do all this shit with the amount of money you're making, but EA just doesn't seem to want to do that. Chaos, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. They really are just going to do anything that will get people to buy stuff in Mutt. And I think, like, anything outside of that is 100%, like, out the window. And it just feels like that's the way it is. And it's going to, in the near future, that's the way it's going to be. And it's kind of frustrating because I know if they just hired more staff and they could do the things that they wanted to do, just cost them a little bit more money, but I don't know.
That's terrible. Tex, what do you think?
Yeah, 350 people when the game, you said, has 80% profit margin, EA as a whole, like, that's, like, what are they, how much money are they saving in it? Is it better for the overall growth of all their games? No. Because they keep misusing the resources they already have to fund games that flop. The solution is not to stop making those games, it's to fire people.
Yeah. Like, he has done so bad to like other game development studios in the past. Like, we've seen them shut down some of our favorite games of the past. Like, I don't know, Maxis, I think they shut down. They shut down, like, I'd have to look up a list of the total number of great studios in the past. But yeah, I guess nothing goes more EA than mismanagement. Nothing goes together better. But let's get off of that. It is sad, and I'm sorry to hear, because we saw Activision Blizzard fired a bunch of their marketing esport people too earlier this year. So I don't know if the games thing is like, this is like the first stroke of like game companies kind of being in trouble, at least the big ones. But I don't know. We'll see going forward what happens with EA and if anybody in Madden was affected. And what?
If Apex came out and was just like, I guess, I don't know. Maybe
EA, just... Here's the thing. EA just bought that studio. You know, Respawn is only being alive as long as they're, like, doing bonkers numbers for EA. EA will definitely shut down that studio if they can't keep producing stuff like Apex.
Well, Apex is probably going to just be, like, that's going to be their holy grail. I think Respawn's going to hope that allows them to do a lot more in the future. Cause that's
really?
Those are the Halo guys.
Nah, look at FIFA and Madden. They make a shit ton of money, and they're still well under the thumb of EA.
True.
Anyway,
they can't really escape their grasp.
Yeah,
they are all encompassing on just tragedy.
So I want to get back to the gameplay here with Chaos, since we have him on. He knows so much about it. So there was a run pass glitch that's gone around. It's been in the game for a long time. According to what I heard from Marksman. But Big Nickel, you know, block shed D. Now everybody knows the run pass tell out of that. So block shed D got even better in my mind. I didn't realize it was this good before. Where they knew I could run or pass on it. Nothing I heard. So what are you currently in? Are you still in trips tight end?
Yes, that's my offense, yeah.
Okay. So what's the deal? I'm seeing a lot more trips tight end than a gun bunch. Is it because 3-3-5 and block shed D matches up again better against gun bunch than it does against trips? Is that what the meta kind of moved to?
Well, at the top players, the bunch is still the meta, but I think why you see trips tight end so much more in like head to head and stuff is I think a lot of them don't know how to use the route specialist. So right now, gun bunch is only really good if you have the route specialist and you know how to run it.
Okay.
So if you're not like, it's like the top players, like if you're not a top player, you probably don't know what you're doing in it. And bunch really just isn't as good as trips tight end. If you just like, if all you know is pass sail, it's not going to be nearly as good. Whereas trips tight end, you really don't even need a single route specialist, and they still have crossers from two different receivers. They have deep corner routes, good posts, stuff like that. So I'd say it's easier to use if you don't know how to use the route specialist.
Huh. So that's like, do you think it's because route specialist isn't in practice mode why more people don't know it? Or why do you think route specialist really hasn't caught on? Because I've played some people with route specialists, and I fucking hate them.
Yeah, I think with route specialists, like what people just imagine right away was, ooh, like double crossers. Like that's really like the only one that I see from people. Yeah. I think part of it is lack of practice mode probably having it, but I think a bigger thing would be YouTubers not being able to post good passes from it. So if I ever give a tip or anything, I'm usually doing it from practice mode, so I can't really draw up for anyone like a route specialist like dot for them. Or if I did, it would have to be like me telling them which one to use. Like you could probably put elite right here, or I'd have to grab a friend and jump into like a practice game, which I don't really want to do all the time because it's not the easiest thing. So I think that's part of it too. And if you go on Twitch, so in the past, if you go on Twitch and you watch a top player play, you could see the exact hot routes they're making and go copy them and you'll run your play. Hence, pat sale, right?
Yep.
But if now, with route specialists, like, so what a lot of people do in bunch, they'll put a post on, and then they'll flip their play and it's a corner route and it's a really, really, really good corner route. Like, it's like the bunch curl flat corner route. It's like the exact same thing. And a normal player will never guess that they're doing that because they're coming on their play, they're calling their hot route, and the second they call their hot route, they flip their play, and now they have a corner route that's actually a post.
Well, you don't
know to guess it.
So what I'm seeing a lot right now is the crosser flipped to a corner route.
Yeah, they do that too.
You're saying the post flipped to a corner route is just as good as that?
And I personally think it's better.
I see a lot of corners flipped to good post routes too.
They do that too. Yep, they do that too. But what's really good about the post turned into a corner route is it doesn't get guarded by deep quarters. The crosser that's flipped to go outside can get guarded by deep quarters. I'd say that's what makes the flipped post better.
Do you have to press your deep quarters, or can you leave it stocked there? Do you have to play sticks or what?
If they don't have a streak, and you can probably just leave it stock. If they have a streak, you probably want to press it. Baseline press it. Baseline's important.
Yeah, you got to keep it out wide. I was earlier in the year, I was experimenting with like pat sail and how to stop besides for like crossman. I put a quarter and then I ran my defender out of bounds. And I was like, oh, that kind of
stopped. Yeah, just run as wide as you can. Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, that's kind of hot. But it was again, it was mad, and so it was inconsistent. So I never was able to, like, I never really implemented it, and I didn't want to put a tip out of something that's inconsistent. But yeah, it's just kind of funny. So deep quarters on those corners. The regular post route flipped to a corner route, huh? Like I've been seeing that. I got my tight slots I've been running a lot, which has like, you know, tight flex, not tight slots, tight flex with the PA shot and draw and whatnot. So I should fuck around a little bit more with route chems when I move over to my new playbook, whatever I do next after Titans. But yeah, it's like, do you like I'll do one question first and I'll ask you later. Do you like the deep route running chemistry and the elite route running chemistry, that kind of stuff, or do you think it's kind of overpowered, like, because they gave no you know, counter move to the defense?
So, I mean, I don't mind it in that, like, they're really good routes. I don't mind that. The only the two things that I really mind about it were, one, if you use them, it takes away your other hot routes. Didn't really like that. But I also just don't, like, it was frustrating that, like, everyone was like, oh, like, route specialist is going to give you, like, other good offenses that are good. But really, what it really did was just make Bunch, the best formation, even better. So, like, it did improve other formations.
Yeah.
But it improved Bunch more than it improved anything else. And so that was kind of frustrating to me, just because it was supposed to make the game more, like, diverse, but really it just made the best formation already better. So,
yeah, I think I said that the day that it came out, and I really didn't expect much else. And I know everybody was, there were a few people claiming that you can be in anything now. I'm like, well, Bunch blocking is the reason why a lot of people are there, also with proper spacing and stuff. And so it's whatever. It's
the blocking and the compression from the Bunch, just like routes are better. So, like, if I put, if I do a flipped, like the flipped post into a corner route in trips isn't nearly as good as it is from Bunch and from the compression. So that's another reason, too.
Yeah, it's weird that, like, the best way to attack the sidelines is through a compressed set in Madden versus, like, a spread set.
Right.
Yeah, it's just so funny.
Yeah.
It's like reverse.
Yeah.
So, one of the questions you talked about with Meta and stuff and YouTubers, do you think, and then Texas, I'm going to ask you after this, do you think who has a bigger impact on the meta, YouTubers or competitive players, like, right after a tournament? Because I know what I have. I'll give my opinion first. I think competitive players have a bigger impact on the meta long-term, like, through the year, than YouTubers, because I wasn't seeing a lot of Gun Bunch before that first competitive tournament. I didn't see any 335. I've been running 335 for months. I didn't see almost any of it until the competitive tournament that just happened that made it. That I think was it Pavin won with 335.
Yeah.
I almost saw nobody running it. So now I feel like a basic bitch because I'm running 335 because I'm running it for so long, and he ran it, and then everybody's copying him now. So, what do you think? Who do you think has the bigger impact on the meta?
I think it's what you said. I think it's competitive players, but I do think YouTubers have an influence in this way. So I think competitive players said it, YouTubers see it, and then YouTubers post it, and then it spreads like wildfire. I think that's probably the number one way. So if competitive players will help set it, like, anyone that watched the stream would see it and try to do it. But then when you get a YouTube video that actually breaks down, like, how he's doing it perfectly, then you get more people, like, because there's a lot of, like, low-level players that just really would never be able to figure out what they're doing from just watching. They need to be told how to do it. And I think YouTube, that's where YouTube really comes in. So I think it's a little bit of both, but I do think it starts with competitive players.
Yeah. Tex, what do you think?
I think it's mostly competitive, and then if they want to learn how to run it proficiently, they go to YouTube, because a lot of guys, I've been seeing, like, in house rules, like, dudes come out and Bunch, and then once that doesn't work, I'm not a good player, by the way, but once that doesn't work against them, they come out and something else that another person's running, like, and if it doesn't work, they leave. So I think a lot of these guys, just a lot to keep winning these tournaments, are just running the same, basically, two formations, mostly one. They're going to just stay in that mostly the entire time. So I blame, because I feel like YouTubers don't really, like, at least a lot of the gameplay guys, besides, I think, like, you don't even run Bunch much, so I think it trickles down from the competitive players to the regular players.
Yeah, because, like, the last year, we really didn't have a competitive tournament. We didn't have one in 15, and then they had one at the end of 16, I think, if I recall correctly. 15, there was still the Met. There was still, I think, Problem. I think he was the, I don't know, I think he was credited with PA End Around, and that just took over 15. So, so there was still a meta, even though there wasn't a tournament, because of Problem, right? And 16, there was only a tournament super late in the year. I don't think it didn't have a lot of views on it, though. I think I looked at an article. It was like it had 900 people watching it, which is kind of crazy to me to see where the competitive tournaments are now with like 20,000 at some points. But that's another discussion. We won't get into that. And 16's meta, right after, you know, besides for just, you know, Mike Scrape 3 and chucking it and praying and aggressive catch and stuff, Dime Flat was kind of brought on, but that was kind of from the community too. Yeah, it is interesting how meta's evolved through the year. That it could be like a case study or something. I don't even have a point that I'm trying to make. I'm just trying to think of my examples of where the meta's come from and where the trickle. It comes from all corners of the community, from ebook sites to YouTubers to competitive. Mm-hmm. But generally, I would say you can never say 100% it comes from blank. But
when did the Patriots playbook meta become a thing? Because I was rocking the Patriots playbook in like 3 years ago.
I would say this year, just because this year or last year, just because Trips tight end and Bunch were in the same formation, and they happened to be the two best formations this year.
Yeah. Well, Gun Bunch, it was West Coast, I think, Gun Bunch in 17, I think it was the best one, if I recall.
West Coast. West Coast, definitely in 18. I'm trying to think of 17. What game was 17?
Was 17 West Coast? It was a swerve game at 17.
I know Skimbo. Yeah, so West Coast was definitely 18. West Coast was definitely 18.
Okay.
Z-Spot and Corner Strike were the best plays in 17. I'm trying to think what they used. It might have been West Coast in that, too. West Coast in 17, too.
Yeah. And I remember because, like, I didn't see any of those games early in the year. And then, like, yeah, Skimbo goes on and win tournaments with it. And it was like, oh, now Bunch is everywhere this year. So Skimbo and Problem might be the two most influential people on the meta in Madden in the past, like, 3 years, in my opinion. But anyways, that's just a conversation I wanted to have because I find it interesting where things come from. But I think all right. What's your impression like overall with gameplay this year, Chaos? In a good spot or in a bad spot?
Well, at the beginning of the year, it wasn't the worst. I actually had a lot of fun playing it, and I actually still have fun playing the game sometimes now. It's just like gameplay now is just awful. This is like one of the worst states the game's ever been in. You can run around with a fast quarterback and never ever get caught. You can still catch on four people with a good receiver, which I don't know if that's ever, I don't know how long that's been a problem. Like since Madden 16, when they introduced the aggressive catch, it's been an issue.
It wasn't that bad in 17 outside of swerve, but like one-on-one catching in 17 didn't really work, right?
Right, yeah, the SWAT. That was the introduction. The SWAT actually worked fairly well because it was the first time I was in the game. Mm-hmm. But then you get swerved from there.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the worst places it's ever been. But just because if contains just worked, I think the game would be actually all right. Personally, for me, I know other people are, like the ad catching. It's annoying, but that's been around for 3 years now, so it's not the end of the world for me personally. But I. Just because of the contains and stuff, I think the game's in a rough spot.
Yeah. Yeah, so like...
Fumbles are bad right now, too.
Oh, yeah, tell me about that. Well, spins into fumbles and AI. I have been coughing up a bit, but I just wanted to go back. Like, I feel like, and I'm going to die on this hill, and I know it, I feel like our thoughts about previous games are clouded by a little bit of nostalgia, because those were not...
100%.
Those were not pleasurable experiences, a lot of those games.
Yeah, so I think me and you had a conversation similar to this before in your stream. It was like people like, oh, I miss Madden 17. Well, I mean, Madden 17 sucked too. Like Nickel Blitz was awful. You literally send three people against eight and get one free. Swerve was awful.
And then
some other things.
Yeah, there were, but like we only remember the big things, right?
Right. Like, Oh, people forget like what game was it? Literally, where you. You get stripped from behind all the time. Remember when the game first dropped?
That was the beginning of 17, 18, and this year. Yeah.
Yeah, you literally get stripped every play. You had to fall down if there was a guy behind you. It was ridiculous.
Ball popped up.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, people definitely have nostalgia. It's crazy. Like, I don't know. A lot of people, too, like, that are older, like, they're like, they'll talk about really, like, old, like a lot of older Maddens.
Oh, yeah, like Madden 05, 07.
Yeah, and, like, I remember people talking about Madden 10, like, you literally couldn't stop a curl route. It was impossible. So like how could you like a game where you literally could throw four curls the entire game, like,
yeah,
so I don't know, it's
or like buck sweep in 25, yeah. The stiff arm glitch,
people forget
yeah.
real quick what things were bad and what things were good and mm-hmm. all that, so
like and then like if they were good, that was their favorite Madden or something, or if they were they beat all their friends, like, oh, that was a great Madden, because
right.
So it's tough. So I think like I try to knock that out, like I go back and play the old ones and stuff, and like I think 19, as bad as it is, it is not nearly as bad as Endgame 18. Like, we liked 19 at the beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. Like, we like all these games at the beginning of the year because the meta's not set. It's fresh. We haven't found all the glitches and stuff. And, like, we love it. Like, I remember 19, I rage quit first day because of the bullshit. But, like, generally, it's more fun at the beginning. That's why I always say, oh, got to get mad on release or else the meta's set by the time you get it. At Christmas, if you can, you try to get it on release. But
yeah,
Tex, what do you think about this Madden versus old Maddens? Let's hear your nostalgia trip.
I mean, I played Madden 25 when they had a stiff arm glitch back on the Xbox One original. Like, man, I think this is probably it's probably the best and worst gameplay, just because like it's frustrating, but it is probably the most smoothest.
Yeah.
It's just kind of how it goes. It's I think we all have higher expectations for this, so we go
back on the issue. Older games. Hell yeah.
And we're like, those things were, and this is new gen. This is what new engine, right? And those other ones were on the old engine.
Yeah,
like
Ignite.
We look at all that. It's like, okay, so they're playing with handcuffs, and then all of a sudden you see what Battlefield 5 is doing with its physics and all the other stuff, and Madden can't even like make a game where you can guard a damn high point pass with a 6-7.
You know,
so I think that's the reason why we're mad at like what's going on here. We are nostalgic about the old games, but we give them a pass because they weren't, or the technology wasn't developed good enough point. For them to be as good as they are today.
Yeah. You're right. Like, expectations for this are higher, and they should be for the amount of money they make. Mm-hmm. And it's a big corporation. So, like, I 100% agree. The gameplay is not where it should be. It's not good. Don't get this confused with me defending 19 at all. It should be much better. Like, and here's the thing. Jack Frags, probably one of the biggest, maybe the biggest Battlefield 5 YouTuber, went out and had discussions with the Battlefield developers. So the engine they created for Battlefield, what the fuck's the name? Frostbite. That he now says, yeah, it is now not good enough for Battlefield. It is antiquated, and they want to move on to newer technology. And Madden just moved over to a couple years ago. So a game development engine that was made for Battlefield, developed for that shit, and then FIFA and Madden had to get ported over, and we've seen the issues with that. Now they're saying it's not good enough for Battlefield. What the fuck does that mean for FIFA and Madden, right? Like, this is bad. Like, this is I can't even explain how bad this is. Like, if we got, they got to make their own engine. I think, I don't know what they need to do, but some shit needs to be fixed with Madden and FIFA and the sports games, or go back to the old engine and rebuild on that. I don't think they can, but they got to do something new. They got to get some customizable hardware. I don't know if it's the best step forward for them. I'm not like a game dev expert, but I'm worried about that. So I don't know. Chaos, are you studying computer science in school at all?
No, I don't know a ton about it, but I know people have talked about how they just use old code over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it would be successful, so...
Yeah, they basically... Really, it's like one big, giant blob of material that they tape, scotch tape on something new every year. Like, now let's scotch tape on a stapler on this end, and... Hey, that looks kind of cool. We'll put a marble up there to make it shiny, and a nice long shot story mode over there. So... I don't know. Hey, what do you want to see from Madden 20 though, Chaos? Like, looking for just bug fixes, new features, new like we talked a little bit about the zones. We don't need to hit that, but what else do you want to see for 20?
So as far as gameplay, Tex touched on it a little bit. Some better ball physics. I mean, so if you high ball, you can be right underneath the guy and not have a chance of jumping and picking it or even knocking it down. Whereas if you don't highball it, you can be 30 yards underneath it and jump up and pick it. So it's like, can we get an in-between? Like, I shouldn't have to throw a high pass when you're lurking a drag and I'm throwing a deep post. But I also shouldn't be able to throw a high pass if you're standing right underneath it. And so some better ball physics, I guess. I'd like to see... Yeah, we talked about the zones. What else from a gameplay standpoint?
Run blocking and anything like that?
Pass blocking, run blocking? Yeah. I mean, so I would like the O-line to block a little bit better on runs, but I'd like the receivers to block worse. I feel like the receivers right now block really, really, really well, but the O-line can't block for anything. So,
yeah.
I'd like the coaching adjustments to completely go. They haven't worked properly since they put them in.
Like, do you think it was a good idea they just failed to execute it?
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea if they could execute it, but like aggressive pass rush is so good.
Yeah.
That the fact that there's been a glitch every single time, like every single patch that they've had it in. Like last year, we were playing at the final tournament of the year, like the biggest tournament of the year, and there was an aggressive pass rush glitch from 3-5 and 1-4-6 crossfire, and it was really, really, really tough to deal with. So I think those should go. But really, with gameplay, it's like I don't really need like any new features or anything. I just would like it. Like the ag catches need to be toned down, obviously. Just stuff to be toned, like just tuned. Everything just, they say they tune stuff in patch. I just need stuff to actually be tuned and make it a little bit more normal. I don't know.
It does feel, I agree with you, like about you saying it actually needs to be tuned. It does feel like they think they're doing things, like with the nerfing of egg catches, like and they said they reduced it by 60%, but in fact it was like the same as it was before.
Yeah,
I called out tonight. Yeah, and it's like, I worry that a lot of the new developers that are building on old code just have no fucking clue what they're doing. They just say, "Yeah, boss, we changed it," and it's like, "Did you? Did you really?" Doesn't feel like it. Doesn't play like it. I don't know if like what's going on. Tex, what do you think about that?
That's I don't. It's if something keeps breaking when you're patching over something else, that's not on the coders, I don't think. That's on the company for not letting them rebuild. So I can't even get mad at these guys because they think they fixed something, and then when they test it on like the actual, when somebody gets their hands on it, it just breaks. So I hate how EA just does Band-Aids instead of just actually doing surgery, because this game needs surgery.
Yeah,
I do actually have something else too. A big problem too is the mutt player. So if you play regs, I'm not sure how much regs you guys play. Like ad catching isn't even that big of a deal. Now it is bad. Like Julio will go get him, just like Randy Moss. Tyreek Hill actually will go get him a lot, but there isn't too many players you can really do that with in regs. I think the problem is this year especially was how fast players grew. Like we had 99 speed, like the earliest I've ever remembered, and part of that sprinter. I just think how good of players are in mutt breaks everything. So in regs, so they build the game like, I guess essentially for regs. They're not really like testing everything on mutt, I feel like.
Yep.
And you have Julio and that's it. You don't have three receivers with 99 speed, 99 spec catch, and 99 route running and 99 catch in traffic. So you're not seeing everybody catch every single pass over and over again, no matter how many defenders are there. So they're like, oh, all right, that's good enough. But then you go into mutt and you have three receivers and a tight end, all with 99 speed and 99 spec. Now you catch everything and there's nothing you can do. So I think that's part of it too. They need to slow down how good of like mutt players are.
I think they've definitely heard our feedback about that this year. Like either there's a lot of like this right now, we're getting the end game content and a lot of cards are starting to look alike, and it's true. And due to the boost. Now I love chemistry. Texas I know loves chemistry, but he's not as big a fan of this year. I like this year's chemistry fine. But you're right. What they've been doing with mutt is slowly lowering the overall every year, and they've been tooling with chemistry. So like this year, we kind of hit like we're going down from where we started. Like what every year since, what would you say, 25 or 13 techs, the overalls at the start of the year get lower, right? Would you say it's been like a 6-year progression?
Yeah, from 13 and on. 13 we had 99 to day one.
Yeah.
And then 25 it kept going lower and lower and lower. We start seeing like 50 overall bronze cards and shit like that.
Yeah. So. And I mean, even through 16, we had a 99 with Odell Beckham day one. And then 17, our master got to 95 overall. That's what we've kind of seen. So, this is, I love chemistries. I love the ability to customize a team on your own, make it your own. I love the theme team stuff like that. So, we're just not there. And maybe they need to do a dramatic cut next year where, like, the highest speed guy at the start of the game gets to be like an 80. Something like that. So that way there's like 20 points of room instead of 10 points of room. Like the fastest guy that started the game this year, was it, did Tyreek Hill have like 90 speed or something? So you really only
91.
Yeah, 91. So you only have 8 points of improvement through the whole year from 91 to 99 on that Tyreek. Yeah, and then Sprinter, once it got really cheap for everybody, like December-ish when a lot of people started getting it.
That's plus 2 speed with John Madden's. So you could pretty much add plus 3 speed to every single person.
Yeah, so it was like 94 to 99 through the whole year. So not much progression there, and right when we hit right now, a lot of us are still playing the game. I know a good majority of people kind of moved on maybe to new stuff. We've talked about that with MLB, which we'll get back to. But, like, there is that issue. So I don't know what they're going to do next year. I've seen a little bit of leaked stats, but that was only for regular rosters. So I don't know what they'll do with Munt next year. I hope, like, my solution for this year is to go over 100, but they're clearly not going to do that. So next year they need to cut stats dramatically. Tex, would you be angry if Tyreek Hill next year started off the game with 79 speed?
No, yes. First of all, that's terrible. All they gotta do is just go over 100 ratings and make sure 100 plus means something. Then we'll have differences.
In yeah, if it means something, then there. It's easy solution. Yeah,
because like the solution to this year's game, like this is why I think they're fucking up not doing 100 plus stats. With theme teams are being as prevalent as they are, John Ross should have 106 speed on his car on a Bengals theme team.
Wow!
If you got John,
yeah.
If you have all those things,
so that'd be badass. John Ross,
that'd be fun as fuck. Yeah, would. Going against 103 speed Deion just running right by him the entire time. That'd be really fun to see, and I think that's what would allow people to want to go ahead and upgrade certain cards. Because like, if you're running a theme team, there's no point to upgrade John Ross to 9 overall.
Like here,
because you're wasting coins at that point.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. So. Here's one thing I want to ask you. Fun versus competitive chaos. Now, John Ross with 106 speed, I would fucking love it. is that good for competitive Madden? And is that something EA doesn't want to do due to competitive Madden to keep that kind of competitive balance? Is that kind of taking away a little bit of those fun things too?
I don't think that creates a competitive imbalance. I don't think that's an issue. I think the issue is, which is also a problem this year, is that there's no corners that can check receiver. So like, if there's 106 speed John Ross, but there's 106 speed Deion or 106 speed like just someone else, a corner that can guard him, then that's not a problem. You have someone that can match with them. Now, there's not a single person in this game that can. Odell Beckham is by far the best receiver in the game right now. There's no one that can guard him because he's 99 speed. He has 99 spec catch. He's got high catch in traffic, and then he also has over 90 break tackle. So he's going to break the tackle on most corners after he gets the catch. So that's part of the problem with competitive right now is you can't put it – everyone's tanking their corners because you can't put a corner on the field that can guard these receivers anyways. So there's no point of having a good corner.
People just play too high the whole game, don't they?
Say it again?
You just play too high in that instance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that way you don't get – like you play a cover two? Or are you seeing more cover three?
I almost never come out of cover two, yeah. I mean,
okay.
Just because – I have like 92 speed safeties, and there's no point in me going any higher because they're not going to guard those receivers anyways. So,
so you just hope to stop them in the red zone.
So you just need. That's why, like, you have to spend your cap on offense. You have to make sure you have 99 speed receivers, because if I went 94, 95 speed receivers and went and got like high quality corners, they're still not guarding these routes with these really good players. So you're wasting your time, and then you're not going to be able to score yourself. So
yeah, I like every time I rate receivers, and I say like whenever I do like player ratings, I used to do more reviews and stuff, and I always say like, hey, he's got 99 speed. This is top end. You need to get him. And it's like everybody's like, oh, you only care about speed. There are other stats. Larry Fitzgerald has value too. I'm like, yeah, I get it.
He has, in real life.
Yeah, like I got comments like that, or people telling me pocket passers. Or scramblers are only for bums, and they can dot me up with a pocket passer, and Tom Brady's not overrated, stuff like that. So I'm like, I don't know, dude. Hearing it from having it reiterated on the podcast from a high end competitive player, it warms the soul, man. Just straight up warms the soul.
Yeah. No, if you don't have speed, you're gonna struggle 100%. It's by far speed kills every single year.
Yeah, easily. That's why it's the same thing with like spin. I know you mentioned spin all the time. He can't spin, so fuck that card.
Oh, like, dude, why do you care Cooks, about the Brandon spin Cooks was rating? Unusable for the beginning of this
it's
year.
Like, you care about the spin rating because like there's other cards in the game that are faster than this guy that can actually spin. So why would I pick this card up?
Yeah, exactly.
Chaos. One other question on gameplay. What are your feelings on thresholds? Do you want them? Do you want them to go? Do you want them to stay? What's your overall opinion on them?
So with thresholds, I guess I don't really mind them because I know what my person's gonna do, but at the same time, like, it is kind of stupid that someone at so in Mud it would be 88 spin, but in all Madden it's 82 will do the same exact thing that someone with a 95 spin can do. I think that's dumb, and that's from an everywhere standpoint, competitive, just a Mud fan in general. I think that's stupid.
Agree.
But at the same time, like, it is nice to know what your person's going to do, I guess you could say.
So what do you, what do you like better? What's like? How would you ideally, if you have an idea, if not, you could say I don't know, but what would your ideal solution to this threshold issue be? Like, how would you figure out these animations and more of them? What would your, like, in a dream world, what would you have happen with?
Well, in an ideal world, you'd have someone getting slowly better as they go up by one. So like, 85 speed's a little bit better than 84, 86 is a little bit better than 85, and then you just keep going up, up, up until you're at 99 and you have perfect. But I don't know how you could perfectly implement that for something such a spin. Like, I don't know how you could perfectly implement that. Zone too, like last year with 91 zone, once you got to 91 they react perfectly. I don't know how you can,
I mean, that's not that hard, right? Like, so alright, say we'll say it like every frame you react one frame better. I don't know how to break it down. Yeah, like, say you go from 81 to 82, you react a frame better. So, like, it's slightly, very, very slight differences. Like, 160 per second. Right. So, if they were to pull that off,
I think that's the ideal stats. If you could make it go up by one and just make it slightly better than it was before until you get, like, then you can see an extreme difference from, like, 99 to 80.
Yeah.
I think that's the ideal situation.
I agree. So, but yeah, with animations, with route running thresholds, that's tougher to do, because there's so many, like, do you want consistencies on break? Like, do you want Antonio Brown at 99 route running to break better than like Brandon Cooks at 90 route running? If you're running like an out route, do you want it to be significantly better, or do you want, like, once you hit that, you're gonna get that consistent out route animation? It's quick. What would you like, Chaos?
See, well, the competitive player in me wants like everything to be consistent. So, like, I would want an out route to be man every single time, or like this route beats something every single time. But the ideal situation would be, like you said, like 99 is better than 90, and 90 is a good amount better than 80. So I guess I kind of want it both ways.
You want your cake and to eat it too, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Text, what do you
choose? Which one?
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough choice for sure. Like the only solution I could see is, right before we throw it to text, like against man coverage, if you have 92 route running against 91 man coverage, or any number right there, if it's better, your out route will beat man coverage. If your route running is less than the man coverage and an out route, then you lose. But it's difficult because then, like, if somebody has 99 Deion Sanders and you got 99 route running, like, who wins there if it's the equal? But then, like, I think there should always be man-beating routes. For zone-beating routes, that's different because that's more concept-based, so route running isn't as important against zone. It's still pretty important, but Tex, what do you think about thresholds and route running?
Well, so thresholds, I feel like they could stay if they implement them, at least for Mutt, with the abilities that you can put on cards. So let's just say you get 95, or just say like 99 tackles, a top tier threshold, and you couple that with secure tackler, it's basically secure tackler for Madden 18.
Okay, you think that dramatic, huh?
Well, it should be an impact on it. So like with it being as like low as they are right now, you should have incentive. And so while I don't think 88 spin should be the greatest, maybe if you get to, if you have like 95 spin, you can add Never Stumbled onto your player as well. Like, yeah. I feel like they should do stuff like that. Aren't the end all be all, because once you hit that certain threshold and you can get the abilities as well for other things, and like there's no point upgrading these cards outside of speed at that point. Like my McCaffrey, only reason I upgraded my McCaffrey to the 97 was because of the extra ability.
Yeah.
Not because he was in game for me, at least for my Panthers think team back in December.
Yeah.
And so if they want to do thresholds, they gotta couple them with abilities as well, so that they make them actually matter, because they're not gonna do, if they go incremental, I would love that. We've been talking about that for a while. Just 99 should be better than 98 and vice versa, but right, and so on and so forth. But they don't want to seem to do that. They kind of like having these. Well, a lot of the competitor players like these players being consistent and not improving as they go up. So that's why we have it the way it is right now.
Yeah, and a lot of competitive players too are doing what you said. Like, they're the only reason why they're upgrading fully is to get to like specialists, like like red chems. Yeah. Like the players already have 99 speed and like 99 stats. They just want the second chemistry.
Yeah. So like, if there was a like 99 zone being a thing, and then you can add something else ability wise to that to make that gets that rating actually matter, they'll be good to go there. Like,
yeah,
it just seems like you don't got to get to the top tier ratings this year since everything kind of is like at such a low overall. Like, wasn't it like the throwing thresholds, for example? Like, isn't it all at 90?
Yeah, basically? Yeah. You don't. So, it's not like you need 99. Yeah.
So what if you 99 like throw short actually mattered for conductor or gunslinger? Then that would be something that people have to be forced to upgrade at that point, and we actually see an impact on the field as opposed to just kind of everybody rocking out with lower overall players because they hit those certain thresholds.
Yeah, I think a lot of the reason why they don't do that, even though I think it's smart, is that they want to be able to like use these chemistries day one, like, and people won't meet those stats yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that should be the way.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's strictly a money grab.
You're forcing guys to only use two cards at that point to hit those thresholds.
Yeah.
And plus, if they did that way, you can actually chem boost these guys to hit that potentially to make it actually matter more at that point as well.
Mm,
yeah. I hate thresholds. Like because 88 spin's stupid. Like, why that's so low. And then they purposely don't give certain cards to spin, so we got to spin zone run on it and like a bunch of other stuff to get the 88.
Yeah, especially with how good it is too. It should be like 97 or something.
Yeah. So okay, two questions. I'll do the first one first. Red chems, Tex, do you want them back in the game next year?
I want them back in the game, but I want more counters to counters. I want more defensive. Good ability,
like unfakeable.
Name the best defensive abilities in Madden right now, and you're gonna name one that was not even that good anymore.
Secure tackler.
That's the best one, and everything else on defense is ass. Pick specialist sucks. Tip drills like terrible. Because just catch the fucking pick.
Yeah,
I should put an ability like tip drill because on you somebody. So many
picks and you end up picking the ball off. Yeah,
But the fact that we're putting on a ability because their game's broken, we can't catch a tip pass that's coming down all soft and stupid as hell. But think about this though, it make the most impossible catches. They'd be diving on the ground catching it. So tip drill is just below, kind of just dumb. So I can see its practicalness in terms of like what it does, but it's not a good ability. Same thing with hot hand. Same thing with. Pick six. There's so many good offensive abilities. They got to have more defensive stuff to counter that because it's not fair that we don't have anything that puts guys to stop corner routes or stop crossing routes. But we got stuff that can help us catch passes that if you just don't hold triangle the entire time, you're going to catch anyway.
Yeah. Cass, what do you think about red chems? You want them back next year or no?
I wouldn't be mad if they left, but I'm not going to be like mad if they stay. I personally just think like, I think Rob Specialist was just lazy by them. I think they didn't want to diversify the playbooks. I think if they just recreated like playbooks with formations that actually are usable, like put some good crossers in something other than trips tight end. Put some good posts in something other than bunch. Like if they just did that, like you wouldn't need these route chems for everything. Or like Conductor has a glitch on it now. I don't know, like. I just think a lot of them are silly. They've gotten sillier too. Like at first, when they first came out, like you had Conductor, and that was kind of like it. But now you have just like, just weird
spin specialist, juke specialist, all those things. Yeah,
it kind of got out of control. And you can't even like it's just it probably has to do more with the game being broken. I just feel like a lot of their testing is done in regs. I did see someone say they do some testing in Mutt now too, but I feel like a lot of the testing just happens in regs, and they're not even like really. Full out testing these, like they probably test them a little bit, but I just feel like they don't.
No, they didn't test these shits at all because they didn't work the first like. So you're right about this. I just put them in the game and were like, "Good luck, figure it out."
Yeah, I just think they're unnecessary, and they're in the game so that they can make some money, as most things are in this game. But
yeah, just charge training for something that people may think works. I love when people are like spin specials. That's the best build. That shit don't work, man. What are you talking about? I spend pretty fine without it.
Yeah, definitely do.
Yeah, like all right. So on one hand, I like that they try out new things to add new fun things to the game, and I appreciate that. But it does end up unbalancing it, which is tough in the future. So for abilities, I agree it needs to be executed better and implemented better. But that's you can always say that like for anything in the world and anything EA fucks up. But I do hope they hope they're back. Now here's my second question, kind of leading off that. For these thresholds and abilities, like Tex said, would you be okay if EA said early in the year your top tier spin is going to be 88 when the game launches, but later in the year, say, comes January 1st, the top tier spin move is now 95, and come April 1st, the top tier spin move is now 99. Would you guys be okay with some sort of progression? Not necessarily that exact one, but something like that where they come out ahead of the year and tell us when the thresholds are changing, and then they can kind of explain it up front. Tex, you first.
Hell yeah, I would love for that, because then at that point you got a reason to keep upgrading your team.
Okay,
this is money.
Yeah,
the whole thing shouldn't just be about fucking speed, and so they should come out with ratings that make these cards better over time. The thing about it is that people will be upset because they'll feel like you're just trying to take money out of their pocket. But every other game that has tries to stick around for a long time does updates where they change the balance of certain things, and so if something was underbalanced, they'll try to go back and buff it and make it a little bit better.
Yep,
Madden does that and breaks the game sometimes, but like with this would allow a little bit more like usefulness. So if you can run Chris C routes at 90 route running, and then in April it's 99 route running, only guy that has that is Larry Fitzgerald. He breaks off cornerbacks and man coverage all the time. That's going to be a nice addition to have, and it gets usefulness to Larry Fitzgerald. But
okay,
they don't. I would love for them to have the community would riot. They'll be
you think
so mad that they're updating it. They will get so mad. I bought this card. You can spin now. We can't.
But you told that ahead of time, though, right?
I know, but people
still be mad.
Still find a way to get mad. They'll still find a way to get mad.
Yeah, chaos.
And plus, they wouldn't even announce this. Sorry, on the main game, it'd be like on Twitter. Like
yeah, so only half the people know.
Yeah. Not even half, a fifth, and so it wouldn't even be like worth the time. So, I would love it though. Sorry about that.
No, I'm glad to hear that. Like that, Chaos. Yeah, let me hear. Like, Texas is for it, but he understands the community might be pissed. What do you think as a competitive player? Would you like that or not?
Yeah, I'm for it. To be honest, I think it keeps like players like so. For salary cap, like you can still use an 82 spin guy and still be able to spin like you could day one. I agree. I think if it went up, that'd be cool. But the only like issues with it are they don't disclose the thresholds now as they begin.
Yep.
Part of which I don't even know if they know the thresholds on their own. I'll be honest with you.
True. Yeah.
They didn't know 91 zone when I found it. They thought it was 90, and people argue with me until I literally made a video and showed them, look, you're wrong. So
I remember
it's
that.
It's possible they don't even know the exact thresholds.
Hey, remember I was Team Chaos from day one. I watched that shit. And I was like, hell yeah, dude.
You were.
Duh. That video made me go out there and spend 2 million coins on Sherman and fucking Chris Harris.
Those guys were awesome, too.
I powered them motherfuckers up. I powered them up. Like, yay! They were out here getting, I didn't make that coin back, but they helped me win some games.
It definitely threw off the auction house, too, early on, because there was only a few 91 zone guys. So, like, Chris Harris was like, he went from, like, whatever he was to, like, a million coins.
200K. 200K. And I was like, should I buy Chris Harris before? And then all of a sudden you make that video and also Chris Harris is a mill. Yeah. I'm like, alright, you got the juice now, man.
Yeah. So hey,
ideally it is good though.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool. The only problem would be now, could they possibly, are they capable of separating from regs? Because so what are they, are people going to be spinning in regs day one, and then as they move it up, or like so, like less and less regs people, because their stats don't change that as drastically.
Yeah, very true.
One, so
yeah,
that's why they're going to have a regs mode. It should be competitive. Should be mutt. There should be regs. Like, they have 5 game mode. Who cares?
If they're capable of doing it, I'd be down. I'd do it that way.
So that way you're not really affecting different things.
Yeah. They could keep the original. Yeah, but it'd be tough to separate out. You're right. We don't need more game modes, I guess. But we do. I don't know. Anyways, hey, moving on. Current state of the MCS, Chaos.
Wait, you didn't answer the question. How do you feel about that?
If they did it, like, I think the community outlash will outweigh EA's value. EA doesn't care about a balanced game. They care about PR. Do I see them doing it? No. Would I say that's a better... obviously, there's a tier one solution, which is making no thresholds and every stat matter. Then the tier two would be something like that, where the thresholds kind of raise through the year. But that, of course, has that flaw because, you know, people are going to blame EA for taking their money, even though you learn about it ahead of time. And I think, like, a lot of EA's problems is the lack of communication from them. So it's weird they cut in the communication department. But I would be for it to help diversify the cards. You know me. I love that shit. I love team building, and something that kind of brings a new wrinkle into it, I would be for it. I don't see it ever end up happening for EA to do that like that. But that's my answer. Moving on to the MCS competitive scene. What's the current state of it, KS? Good, bad?
It's pretty terrible.
Okay.
I mean, just first and foremost, just watching the 2K stuff, like how awesome that is. They're getting paid salaries. They get health insurance. They're getting like housing while they're out there. They get paid. I got told they get paid if they decide to stream. Like, it's up to them, but if they want to stream, they'll get paid more.
Okay.
Just looking at that and then comparing it to us just sucks. And then it's just rough because like our circuit is awful. So like the ranked ladders are just in like the worst state they've ever been. I played 3 games. I went 3-0, and I was ranked 12th on the leaderboards. because no one's playing. And the reason for that,
wow.
Like, one of the main reasons for that is, so in previous years they had top 4 incentive. If you made top 4, you basically either made it to the live event or like you were like really, really close. Like you got to skip single elim, and single elim is obviously the hardest part. So people grinded for it. Like people played, and I remember Madden 17. I just started getting into competitive. I wasn't even really good yet, but dude, like people were playing 200, 300 games, and it was awesome. Like every top player was playing, and just people aren't playing right now. So I think that's a problem. And then another, like the other issues they have is like I really just feel like our point system and the way like it just works is just silly. Like, so all your points come from 3 tournaments from throughout the year, like the classic, like the first tournament, the second major, and the third major, and however you do rewards you for the fourth major. But they don't even know how to do their scoring. So like they gave more points, they messed up and gave more points to people at the classic where you had to pay your own way to get out there. And basically if you went out there you got like minimum top 64, and you got more points for when even if you qualified for like the online ones, which you actually had to qualify for. You didn't pay, you did like actually make it. Mm-hmm. But you get more points. Like, there's just, I'm not gonna like bore everybody with all the different issues it has. It has so many different problems from it, and just watching other circuits and seeing like other games excel and seeing our game kind of not do anything, and then the NFL not really getting truly involved in it, just kind of sucks.
Yeah, I think here's the issue with the 2K League is that costs a lot of money. All right.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, when you cost a lot of money, you got to produce a lot of results. While you've been talking, I've been listening and looking up their Twitch stats and their numbers from there. And I know they're on ESPN and stuff, but they're not doing a Twitch. Like I'm not able to find their main channel. All right, that I'm having issues finding that. But like they're getting 30,000. Like that's expensive for EA to put in. Like EA just fired. Like they're gonna look when your investment is smaller. When your investment is $1 million in prize pool, but they just built a. I know EA just built a stadium. They got to devote all the staff, all that stuff. When your investment's like under $5 million or $10 million, whatever EA is, like that's not bad. But when your investment's like, I don't know, like they're big teams putting in like the NBA, so I don't know if they're
The NBA teams are involved. That's okay. The biggest difference.
So yeah. that helps out with the cost offset too. But when you're under that kind of pressure, you got a shorter time to produce results, and you're gonna have to start popping. You're gonna have to start getting huge numbers. Like with Madden and the competitive circuit, what I found, I looked it up last year. I think the championship weekend when you got, I think it was on ESPN2 or something. I forgot the last one. Between Twitch, YouTube, and ESPN, all those numbers added together, the views were less than KKE's got that weekend. Just one Madden YouTuber. Total, he gets, I mean, hundreds of thousands of views every day. So like the investment there for EA, if they're looking at it from a balance sheet perspective, and it's marketing in the end, you guys are marketing tools for EA. Guys aren't that expensive right now. $1 million prize pool, it can't, if it goes up to 5-10 million expensive, like Andrew Wilson's looking to cut anything he can. So keeping that, I can see the benefit from Madden's perspective, at least from the frontline developers, keeping it kind of like a little bit out of the big boss's eye, you know, having to lay off, like I keep going back to that, but it's just goddamn tragic for those people. Laying off 350 people versus, say, cutting something for the same amount of money. And the thing is, EA's got enough money to do all that, and that's the biggest issue. Like, I'm not saying cut competitive. Keep competitive. Love it, but fuck, it's I think that's kind of like, what do you think about that? Is it better that maybe it's not like they're kind of like you guys are growing it slowly, and before you really invest a lot?
I think it's good to a degree. It wouldn't be such a problem if how everything worked wasn't such an issue. So like, it's nearly impossible right now to be consistent. Like, you can get unlucky and lose one game and your season's literally over. So like, okay,
yeah,
this is a perfect example. Last year, Kiv, the overall champion, highest earner last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was in the last tournament to qualify for Ultimate League, and he played Skimbo, and pretty much everyone would agree he got really lucky in his game against Skimbo. If he loses that game to Skimbo, he literally makes $0 last year. He doesn't make a dime.
Jeez, that's
yeah,
crazy.
He beats Skimbo in the last tournament to qualify,
uh-huh,
and he ends up being the top earner. That's how small of a margin there is. Like, and
one Madden game, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, literally one game, and anything could happen, and you could make nothing. So like, that's the craziest part. Like, at the beginning of the year, I felt like I was one of the best players, like probably top 5, top 10. And I cost myself the game, but I lost in my club live event, and I didn't have another meaningful game until the Draft Champions tournament, which was like 4 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like my whole season right there. So it's just crazy to see like how one game can really affect your entire season. So
yeah,
and too much weighing on one game where if someone ad catches you or you fumble or drop two picks, like anything, that's the biggest problem with MCS. I wouldn't be so upset about, like, I wish the prize pool was bigger, obviously, but it wouldn't bother me as much if there were so many different like avenues to make sure that you make at least a little bit of something. But since there's absolutely no guarantees and you never know what's going to happen, it's tough to just really compete for $1 million, which is another reason why I've put so much time into being a content creator, because
yeah,
that is a lot more consistent than being a pro Madden player at the moment. So
yeah, and then more consistent, bringing it in. Then eventually when you get bigger, you can take a coin sponsor and just say, fuck competitive, I'm getting paid.
Right.
I'm not saying you will, I'm just saying that.
I get what you're saying.
But like, I agree, like that's an issue. And the thing is, like, EA, I'm sure they want to make it where like these games have like real meaning for people. Maybe not to the extent like that, the highest earner to zero. But they want to kind of get that dramatic. Like, it's kind of like the Super Bowl. Like, you and I are, or the playoffs. You and I are Steelers mm-hmm. fans. We've seen Jerome Bettis fumble away a game before, and yep, it's that's what it is. That's the fluke, and they want to kind mm-hmm. of have that as kind of the viewable experience. Like I said, you guys are marketing tools. You guys are there to make the viewers engage. And if a lot of money's on the line for one game, people can watch that. That's why game sevens are more viewed than like game twos. So
yeah,
like,
you're right.
One game to decide it all is better viewing, in my opinion. So it sucks for you guys as competitors not to make that kind of consistent money. And there's things they can do to solve that. But as a viewer, that's exactly what EA wants. The most money.
Yeah, so I think it's cool having the single elim for like the one tournament that you're in at the time. I just think tournaments way too much. Like, as I was saying before, with like, you get all your points from three major tournaments, and there's no other way to earn any points. So, with that,
I get you. Like, how else would
so if you can make it so that there's three major tournaments, but then you have six side tournaments where you can earn points, or like that was something with Madden 17.
They did
with the challengers.
They did have that, didn't they? And then the tragic events in Jacksonville. That
no, well, see,
those?
It was different. Madden 17 with the challengers, you could actually earn points from it. But with Madden 18, it was the challengers, and Madden 19, the way it was supposed to be, the challengers were literally just for qualifying for the classic. It wasn't working the same way Madden 17 did.
Okay.
Madden 17, it was like a part of the earning. Madden 18 and Madden 19, it replaced your major tournament, if that makes sense. So, like, if you didn't do
okay.
well in the major, it just replaced it. It didn't add on to it, if that makes sense.
Oh, I got you. I understand. Tex, what do you think about tournaments? And should EA try to go more of the 2K League style? Or what do you think, before I move into Chaos and ask him what you think going forward? I want to hear what Tex says. What do you think they should do?
I mean, I would love it if they... 2K is more of a game to team sport thing, so they're being backed by one team. So the NFL, like there's 32 teams available, obviously, or NFL, and they chose one competitive player to represent them in the tournaments.
Isn't that what they do with the club? Club Series Championship?
They don't count. They're not paying them any money.
Yeah, so the teams aren't really involved. Just to touch on that, sorry to interrupt you, something that I thought that people were talking about idea-wise would be a draft like the NBA does, but each NFL team would draft three people. You have three rounds, and then you'd have like a crew versus crew type thing. So like if the Steelers were playing the Bengals, the three people from the Steelers would play the three people from the Bengals all one-on-one. And whoever won the best two out of three won that game. That was what a lot of people had talked about. And I thought would be pretty
good
cool.
That'd be good for squads. I'm surprised they haven't seen a squads tournament yet.
But the way squads would be nice. The way Chaos makes it sound, I don't even know if there's enough people playing the online ladder now to fill up that three versus three roster.
You can find it though. But and I think if that was actually what was marketed, like, hey, like a draft is in November. Grind out in August, September, and October. Like, I think everyone would be grinding for that. Like, oh, I'm a big Steelers fan. I want to get drafted by them. That'd be like my dream. I feel like so many people would be playing if that was the case. Oh,
totally. Yeah. I saw ScoMo grinding for the 2K League too, and he hasn't really played too much competitive Madden. So his main game is Madden, at least, and then he was grinding for competitive for 2K. You're completely right. You're not wrong. Like, I think you're gonna get a lot more interest like that trying to go for a draft, competitive. But we'll see what they go for. Like, so is that kind of what you want to see going forward into Madden 20 for the MCS? Cut off Texas. Sorry, Texas. Texas.
Okay, so no, my point was just about like it'd be really cool if there was just like guaranteed money there, and also Madden offering up what they want to as well.
Mm-hmm.
If the NFL owners will all just participate and just let these guys represent the team, but it's a lot of legal stuff. Like, that's why we ain't got Twitch drops for a lot of other people on Twitch, because of people not representing EA the way they want them to. So it's just a bunch of bullshit excuse they give. So while that'd be kind of cool to see, I doubt we will ever see it. We should though, because I mean, it's better. I think it's better to keep supporting stuff for Madden, and even though it's an investment for the future, like, I feel like this would be really worth it if you're trying to grow this. If you're not serious about it, like, it kind of shows that you're not doing as much you possibly can as what. And I think that they can do a lot more.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think, Chaos, going forward?
Well, I know Madden 19 was the last year of like this contract, so for Madden 20, I know that they could change up the format a lot. I would like to see. Like, obviously, the number one ideal situation is, like Tech said, getting the NFL involved. Like the NBA. But if that's not possible, then the next best thing is just getting a format where, even if the prize pool doesn't go up a ton, like maybe if it just goes to like $2 million or something, just getting a format where everything doesn't ride on one game for the entire year, where you could go from 0 to 150,000 just like that. And I think that would be the next ideal situation behind if the NFL doesn't get involved. But we'll see. With the new contract, it should change a little bit at least.
Are they in negotiations for it right now, or what's going on?
Well, I know that they signed like a 3-year deal with some. I don't know the exact details of it, but I know that it was Madden 17, Madden 18, Madden 19. So they signed the contract for a 3-year deal after the Madden. You remember, like, Madden 16 had like a competitive thing, but it was like really small at the very end of the year.
Yeah.
Then they signed something for Madden 17, 18, and 19.
Okay.
With a plan. I think Ultimate League, with like last year, how they did the grind for the whole year, and then like the 16-week, or like 10 weeks or whatever, was their ultimate plan, but it completely tanked. So I think they realized they needed to redo and rethink how they were doing it.
Why did it tank?
What happens with Madden 20?
Wait, why did it tank?
It was just, well, they did non-live games. Like, everything was pre-recorded. Yeah. And so you try to keep them a secret, but everyone knows what happened in the games. And you just know, so you have, like, players that were in the Ultimate League chatting during the game, and they're like, what are you doing? Like, kids that have no idea, they're like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be right there. How are you chatting? Like, and week after week, the numbers just went completely down until, like, there was, like, only like 1,000 people watching.
Even with drops?
Even with the drops,
they only had 1,000?
Jesus. Yeah, people weren't in there. It was bad. It was really bad. I think they realized that was bad, and they're going to try to figure out how to fix it next year, I would imagine. So
Well, that'll be good. Cause are you liking the final grind here? Is this last chance qualifier kind of neat? I see it's doing pretty decent numbers on Twitch. Actually, you're getting some pretty good numbers for like Problem. I think Clef got some good numbers too the other day.
I've been hitting my highest numbers too since like early in the year. So yeah. I mean, numbers wise, yeah, it's good. And I was really excited for it. I thought more people were going to be playing it. I've been playing like a lot of the same people, which is cool. I don't mind that, but I just thought it was going to be more people grinding it. But I'm enjoying it, and I think it's good viewership. So that's always nice.
Yeah, it's high quality man. Maybe I should just grind it just to gauge myself against the top end and just come back with my tail between my legs or something.
Why not? It should be fun.
Make sure you got a pillow on your desk.
Make sure.
It
is all Madden. It's something I haven't really played all year. That might be an adjustment, but what the fuck? I've lost plenty of games before. Anyways, kind of near the end of the podcast here. So, MLB The Show, Tex. Do you like MLB The Show better or Madden? For Diamond Dynasty. Not your personal experience.
Ultimate Team
mode? Ultimate Team mode.
I'm gonna say I like Madden's Ultimate Team mode better. Like Diamond Dynasty is cool. I don't like it as much as I did last year, based off like a lot of the stuff that they don't like. I hate the missions. Like they're cool, but like they're so annoying.
You like the missions better last
they're
year?
So annoying. I mean, cause like just like you get a card, go ground with that card, and go from there. Whereas right now you gotta go do these things with the like you play these solos essentially for these cards.
Yes.
And it's like frustrating because like. It's like get a home run and they don't throw you anything but balls the entire time. They're just like, how the fuck am I supposed to get a home run here? So you spend the entire game just chasing. It's just really frustrating. It's just
The single game missions. I mean, single game missions were there last year though.
Yeah, it was annoying last year too. But at least you got a card you can still use in other modes.
True.
Where it's like, well, if I want this Babe Ruth, I have to knock out all these stupid ass missions for this 85 Babe Ruth. Which is cool because it's a free card, but the grind is miserable as of right now. It might be because I suck as well. Maybe people are knocking it out easier than I am, but it just seems like I like Ultimate Team's mode a little bit better. Even though I would say, as of right now, the packs seem to be better on this mode than it doesn't matter.
Yeah, see,
I will say that.
I have seen a lot of high end pulls, but you know, I did pull like 80 or 90 packs to get that trout.
I understand that, but I saw a guy pull 3 trouts in one night, like. Just seems like, and I don't know how many motherfucking trouts I pulled last year, but I can tell
not
you,
that many.
Was the pull I one person
if
last year.
If it was
year,
Madden,
so.
There'd be one or two trouts on the
island. Yeah. No, there's one Gronk up when I last checked on Xbox, on PS4.
Yeah.
One!
That's limited.
Like, what?
Limited availability this year is kind of taking a step back from last year. Remember how good limiteds were last year? And how frequently they came out of packs?
Yeah, they popped out of packs like crazy.
Yeah. Is it the 500,000 coin quick sell why they nerfed the odds on limiteds?
Probably because they give you a lot more coins now.
Yeah.
And the fact that people were just like selling those limited times like less than the regular legends. Like you got here by Andre Reed for like 250k last year.
You think it's possible that less people are trying to pull them just knowing that in 1 week you'll be able to get it for training?
He used him as an example, but it's the other limiteds too are seeing similar issues. But I get what you're saying with less people trying to pull factors in the ground for sure.
I don't know. I was just throwing a guess out there.
Yeah. Yeah. No. For this specific. Reason you're right, but it's happened with other limited. So, but like MLB The Show Diamond Dynasty, what I like most about it is that it's not mud, right? Saying it's better or worse is a subjective, which is, I mean, we give opinions all the time on this thing, but I love that the market is a bid ask system. I love the market more than mud.
That's so
good. Yeah, mud is just like a an eBay style. This is more stock market style, which I prefer. But like. The missions are different. The collections are different. The level rewards in MLB The Show, this is going to be unpopular, too good. Level rewards are too good in MLB The Show. They're giving you end game cards that people are going to get in a couple weeks. It's insane. There's going to be no reason to improve on these 99s. So I think MLB The Show is still a couple years behind Mutt for like progression-based content. And so they got a little bit to go maybe this year. But the gameplay has been improved this year. I like the gameplay better than last year a lot. But we're just talking about Mutt. Overall, I had a low impression of Diamond Dynasty going into this year, and with the show, it has surpassed it. I'm impressed by this year's game. I think San Diego Studios, good job so far. I really hope your patches don't fuck up this game because right now it's feeling good. We'll see once I get to the higher levels, like the World Series, playing on Legend and stuff like that, how the game plays. But right now, going through seasons, love it. Tex, overall impression, give it out of 10 or maybe some other words.
I'm going to give it a 3 because the launch night was trash.
True.
I'm still mad about
it. Outside of launch night, what would you give it?
I'm enjoying it. I mean, let's see. Players are cheaper than they were in years past. I remember, like, Joey Votto last year was, like, my first diamond I pulled was, like, 60K steps.
Yeah.
Now he's, like, 20K steps, so it's more low-cost entry to get in. They did make packs more expensive, but it seemed like packs were better, too, so that's a good
trade-off.
Counter, yeah. I guess, to that, too, so I'll take that. I'm enjoying myself in this game outside of me playing those missions with 85 with like 52 power Babe Ruth and saying get a home run, which is like fuck you. How am I supposed to get a home run with this guy? I'm enjoying myself. I was like in the middle of this entire podcast, I was just like buying cards. I paid attention though.
Right.
I wasn't out here like
checked
not
out.
Paying attention.
Yeah,
I'll,
okay. No. Okay.
I made some good points, bro. I'm buying a car. You're talking about my best effort.
You always complain about people saying you look bored and uninterested in the podcast when you get the face cams on. And then you go ahead and are playing and two-timing on us, playing other games while we're having an in-depth conversation about Madden and gameplay.
We made some really good points today. I'm not going to lie. Like, this might be the best podcast we had this year.
Well, we had a superb guest. I will say that.
I'm gonna take credit.
Yeah, it was good job, Chaos. Because I have not improved at all. If anything, I peaked in elementary school, and it's all been downhill for me. So, Chaos, hats off to you for having Tex reviewed as the best podcast of this year.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So everybody, I got his stuff put in the description again. iTunes, go ahead, rate us what you think we deserve. Hopefully, it's 5, but you know, Tex is being distracted. Maybe 4.5.
Wait, what?
Give him a 5. We work hard on this.
I was focused, bro. I'm out here putting buy orders in on free agents so I can go ahead and get these XP. What are you talking about? Yeah. This game's crazy, bro. I'm out here buying cards so I can get XP.
Yeah. People hate EA. Anyways, Chaos, any last words for us before we sign out?
Nothing. I just appreciate you guys having me on. I hope I did a good job and people enjoyed it.
Yeah. We loved having you. Smart dude. Like I said, check out his Twitch, YouTube, Twitter. Great player. Check him out in those last chance qualifiers. Good luck with that. Do you need to get in through the last chance qualifiers, or what's your standing right now?
Yeah, if I don't win the last chance qualifier, I won't make it. I wasn't able to go to the Classic because of basketball, and I didn't do well in Mutt Drafts. And I did pretty good in clubs, but I didn't get enough points to make it. So I'm relying on this. We'll see how it goes.
Are there 2 people that make it from this?
Yeah, 2 people.
Okay, well, good luck fighting off the other 8. Tex, any last words? That was a joke. Check. When you didn't laugh, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm an asshole.
It took me a second to register. I got it. That was good.
Tex, have yourself a wonderful time. And any last words for us before we sign off?
I think I got pink eye.
I got pink eye or you got pink eye?
I think I might got pink eye.
Your fart kink has gone too far. You gotta stop paying prostitutes to do that to you, Dex.
You're right, bro. I gotta start getting that dental dam on the face.
Yeah. I protect myself. I just got my first video demonetized, and on appeal it didn't get remonetized, so I gotta stop that stuff. No more swearing on the YouTube.
Demonetized are out of this world right now, bro. I can't tell you how many videos they've wrongly demonetized on me. Pisses me off.
Yeah.
Y'all gotta be wild. Yeah, snitches, bro. I be saying the F word. Maybe I talk too fast. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why I think it's demonetized.
My meme video. The first time I've ever appealed one and I've lost. It's so weird. I don't know what to do with my life now, but I'll manage, I guess. But hey, thanks, guys. Wonderful episode. Everybody, I will, I guess I'll catch you later. That's all I gotta say. Peace.
Peace soup.
See ya.